Welcome everyone, and especially a great welcome to Helle Sjöwall, professor at the University of Stavanger. We're pleased to have you and members of your team from the research project here today. And you will be presenting some of your ongoing research, recently published in journals such as Digital Journalism, and very fresh research from this morning. And we look forward to take part in your agenda. And I'll let you present yourself and the project a little bit closer.
Sure, thank you. Thank you, Stan, for letting us have our meeting here. I asked Stan if we could use his offices to have a project meeting with Aske and Michael. And then he said, sure, but can we get a lecture in return? And of course. Oskar was kind enough to include us in his Digital Journalism Focus Seminar series. This is really nice for me because it means I could put, like, on the project output that I've already presented something in Oslo, which should look really nice on my reports. So I'm here to talk about this project, Digital Information Spheres, or something like that. This research started a couple of years ago in 2016 when we were working with Erik Stavelin, who was a postdoc then at the University of Bergen, and Erik Stavelin is an information scientist. So he had the know-how to scrape all these hyperlinks that I'm going to refer to in the presentation. Unfortunately, he has left academia now, so when we're doing this next round in 2018, we're doing it without him, which is a massive challenge because the advantage of doing interdisciplinary research is that you don't have to know everything, but when you lose that team member that knows how to do all this technical stuff, it's really a challenge. So we'll see how we go. So this is the project team. Basically, it's me, Aske Kammer here, Michael Carlson. And we've just recruited Raoul, actually, to have sort of an assistant function. We'll see. And Wout van Attveld is also part of the project. I hired a PhD student who's doing something on paywalls, digital business models, and we're also hiring a postdoc. That position will be announced very shortly, a couple of weeks from now. The project is funded by the Under Foundation, which is a newspaper owner in Sweden. They're based in Karlstad, so there's the connection between the money and the project team, basically. So what did we do? Well, back in 2016, we decided that we wanted to look at the hyperlinks in the digital Scandinavian news landscape. We basically wanted to see if we could gather data that could describe what the news network looks like in a way. So we wanted to do just news media, focus on journalistic media, and not include everything else. So we mapped the online news spheres in Denmark, Norway, and Sweden, and we collected hyperlinks from around 200 news sites from each country. Altogether, we got about 80 million hyperlinks, but only 23 of them were links that going between news sites in Scandinavia, so between the different news sites. Here are some other data on it. Yeah, 3 million documents, 13,000 edges. And the hyperlinks that we excluded were basically external hyperlinks going to other domains, not the DK and or SV. SE domains going mainly abroad, right? So these are the internal links that are kind of linking the news structures in the Scandinavian countries. So we wanted to find out, first we wanted to basically describe the network, and then we needed to find some way of explaining it, right? So we wondered really what the density of the network was. So how connected are the countries? How connected are they between the countries? Is there something called a Scandinavian region in online news? What about who are the brokers? Who is in the middle? Who is facilitating the traffic between all these news sites? Who are the central players? The facilitators that actually help build traffic in the network? And is there anyone who is excluded from the network, and what could explain that? So who is in the center, and who are in the shadows? And here's what the network looks like. So Norway is blue, and Sweden is yellow, and Denmark is red. So these are, I mean, you can see there are some differences between them. Denmark has really strong clusters. They have more traffic, so that kind of, there are more links in the network, so that it's a tighter network. And these networks are, one of them is Danish Radio, the public service broadcaster, which has a really strong kind of independent, almost like its own internet in a sense. Sweden is more dispersed. They also have fewer hyperlinks in like the system. This one, we believe, is connected to some cross-country ownership owned by Danish Jeppepolitikken. And this is Norway, and as you can see, it has more nodes, so it's a little bit more spread out than the Danish ones. And there are clearly sort of links between the countries going across borders here. I'll show you a physical map of that later. But what's interesting here is that there are sort of loose ends, in a sense. You have this frizzy hair indicating that there are quite a few nodes that don't really fall within. I mean, they don't get attracted to the center of the network in the same way as these central nodes. And we'll look at what those really are. So, since these are, I mean, news is a national phenomenon. So most of the linking that goes on in these networks is national, right? Highest number of links are kind of within the countries. But there are also some linking going on between the countries. This was the strongest kind of inter-country linking that we found. And they're both owned by Jyllandsposten Politikens Hus, the Danish corporation. And there's also some indication that geographic proximity has some bearing on the inter-country linking. So the bridge connecting Malmö and Copenhagen is actually also where the geographic location where most of the links sort of occur. So what we did here is that we geolocated all the newsrooms. So we put the longitude and latitude of the editorial rooms. So we could sort of superimpose them on a map here. And what you see is the blue ones are the national media, so they have national distribution. And the size of the node reflects the number of links that are coming into the newsroom. And the green ones are regional media, and the purple ones are local media. Let's see what... So what we also found is that there are sort of clear superhighways. There are more links going between the bigger cities, and there's more links coming into the centers. So we could actually locate that there are some strong linking tendencies between the big cities. Of course, that doesn't only have to do with geography. It also has to do with ownership, right? So most of the corporations here have sort of a geographically oriented ownership structure. Either it's regional or it's at the national level. This is just a curiosity that I thought I would include because we didn't put it in the paper. But we just wanted to find out what the average length is of a link. And it's fairly... as expected, I would say Denmark is much smaller, right? So you have a shorter link than you do in Norway. So we had a sort of a geography focus on this in the beginning to see what does actually geography mean within the network, and these are just the descriptions of that.
May I add?
Sure.
A short comment to this. I think one or two of the Danish networks up in Sabre is located on the Faroe Islands, which is sort of the line you see.
This is actually going to Greenland.
Okay.
Yes, but you also have the Faroe, yeah. So it brings up the...
But I think if we remove that, then the Danish link would be...
Yeah.
Sure.
And these ones, of course, go to Svalbard. There is one newspaper there, so... Of course, if we had included links from like VG and Aftenposten to CNN and BBC, this would look completely different, right? So, but this is just within Scandinavia. So here we see who the major players are in the network. This is the threshold is 50 in terms of centrality measures, so some measure in terms of how important they are in guiding traffic around in the network, right? In all the countries, it's the legacy, well-established news organizations from the print and television era who are still the biggest news media in the news media network here. So you have the Danish ones, Politiken, and also TV2, Norwegian ones, Dagbladet, VG, and the Swedish, Sveriges Radio, Aftonbladet, as you would probably expect. So what we could call the brokers in the networks are also the incumbents in the system. We found, mostly when we were looking at how can we explain the number of links between the various news sites, and how can we explain the traffic, in a sense, and who are the brokers and the hubs in the network. And we found that 94% of all the hyperlinks, the raw count of the links, is actually between news organizations who have the same ownership. So edges, that's just the number of connections that you find between the various newspapers, and this is the actual link count. So this is the strongest really predictor of who is connected to who in the network, the ownership structures, common corporate ownership. And we also found that, so 1/3 of the network was basically isolated from the networks. They were in the shadows, basically, not really linking to anything. 1/3 had zero between a centrality, which means that they're not included in the other links that happen in the network. So on this side, we have the very small newspapers. They have very few links, and then there are a few big ones. So it's a normal network kind of distribution, but what was interesting is what characterizes these newspapers outside that fall outside of the network, sort of in the shadows. And most of these on the left here are small, independently owned local newspapers with low distribution and low frequency of publication. So they're usually local papers spread around the country, not owned by corporate media. So this is kind of indicative of, well, two things, I guess. I mean, one is that Scandinavia has a reputation for having a high ownership concentration, but there's actually quite a bit of independent ownership at the local newspaper level. And that's where most of the local ownership occurs, 70% around Scandinavia. These guys are not linked up to the CMS structures that corporate media do, right? So they have to have their own websites. They have to build it themselves and maintain it themselves. Since they don't also have a lot of traffic, or they don't put a lot of stuff out there yet, they don't really link up to any other organization. This is, of course, problematic because, I mean, we know that online advertising is the future for news, and they need to link up to these new ecologies that are becoming increasingly programmatic and audience metric centered, right? So if you don't have an infrastructure where you can mobilize the kind of data that you need, or gather the kind of data you need to be able to provide some service to advertisers, then you probably fall out of this online economy altogether. So a prediction in Sweden and Denmark, at least for the past few years, has been that ownership will only concentrate. I mean, there will be increased ownership concentration. You can see that the local newspapers are connecting more, they're kind of approaching the big players, the corporate players, to get access or to be bought up, to merge with them, and to get access to these digital infrastructures, which they really need in order to link up to this digital economy that they will probably need to. So this is something to watch, I think, what happens to the local independently owned newspaper companies. So next, we thought about adding more networks to the analysis of the news network. That's why we're here in Oslo today, is actually to talk about what kind of spheres, in addition to the media sphere, can we look at, can we map, collect the hyperlinks of to see what the information structure looks like altogether. So, of course, we thought about political parties, think tanks, maybe organizations, the state sector. I'll show you the code book in a little while. So, hang on. Yeah. So this is... Let me go back. So, okay, we have questions about how does the news look, the news network look in relation to the other networks? Is it close or separated or how entangled is it? Or do the other networks look different than the news network? So we started collecting data in April 2018. So I got a research assistant in Bergen doing that. Again, slightly difficult because I'm not too familiar with the method for actually doing this in the sense that I don't have the skills to do it myself. But I understand basically what the research assistant has been doing, which has been to collect links using the same script as we had before, only two levels deep instead of four as we did last time. So it might look slightly more shallow. So first, let's look at what the network looks like now. So this is the news sites, which we just scraped again, like all the entire Scandinavian thing. You have the same pattern here of... local news media who are just completely outside of the network. They're not connected to anybody, basically. This is a strong kind of national, regional news network. Well, you have all these satellites that are really... So the question to find out is, you know, we have to look at these nodes and see, are there more than 2 years ago, for instance? Have they gone closer to the capital, or is it still, like, way out in the districts? This is what the Scandinavian network looks like now. So now you have Denmark is in green here, Sweden is in blue, and Norway is in red. So in a way, it's kind of resembles the first picture that we got. So I'm not sure how different it really is. But in Denmark, the public broadcaster is even more prominently. I mean, it's stronger in this network as it looks like right now. I'm going to show you a few other screenshots that I did this morning because Ari, the assistant, he sent me the data sets while I was on the airport. So I was just flicking through very quickly to see what was actually there. And I have not had time to think about this, so maybe you can help me out. So this is a snapshot of political networks. And here we have the political parties. He got a list of them, like 60 parties or something, and like Young Liberals, Progressive Party, and also just collected all the links they have. So here we have everything. We don't just have the other news media in Norway, we have all their links. So this is Forum, what is it called? They're the Forum Against Immigration, I think, FMI.no. They're pretty strong anti-immigration network over here. There's a pretty strong communist network over here. If we look at the political parties, this is the Christian Democrats. They're linked up to Value Debate, let's see, Minervanet, which is a kind of conservative online news site. We could look at some of these and see if they, if it has some kind of political leaning in a sense. Because here we have the Labour Party. It's linked to the most central news organizations, in a sense, like the normal ones.
Could you just explain to us what is the meaning of the colors and of these?
Yeah, the green. I haven't accounted for the size yet, so the size isn't filtered. The green ones are parties. The rest is not parties, in a sense. So you could say green is political party and red is something else, right?
But can we now see how they are connected?
Yeah, because behind here, it looks like this, like all of them. So when you take your cursor and put it on top of your node, you can see who they connect to. So these are only the ones they connect to. So in the background, you can see that there are other nodes, But this is the network that they, these are the things they link to. Yeah, this is the Social Liberal Party. They connect to Klassekampen, which is a socialist newspaper. So this Klassekampen shows up when you have SV and not others. So that could be interesting. And here is a Marxist, pretty strong Marxist network with all these Marxists and attack and socialism. So this could be something to look into. Facebook is in the middle of this whole network. I mean, the social media are right at the center. Now I put my cursor on Facebook, but you can also find Twitter and Instagram and things like that in the middle. They are very central to the Norwegian political network. So we also scraped the economic sector. So we took the top 50 companies in terms of revenue in Norway. And this looks like this is a completely different network to the news network, right? So these are the just big companies, oil companies, mainly oil companies. And they have like their own network in a sense, right? So it looks very different. This is alternative media. This is quite small network yet. Some of the players here are central and linking to each other. That might be interesting to look at. That's also the forum for anti-immigration forum. It's very central here. Here's the civil political sphere. So civil society organizations that have some political aim. Again, that looks like it's also kind of dispersed in a sense. They look to be issue-specific with links going out instead of in. And this is the cultural sphere, which looks nothing like any of the other spheres. So this is the National Theatre, and this the Samic Theatre. Yeah, so they have their own information spheres. Here's the media. As you can see, it looks very different from these other type of networks. This is much more interlinked, in a sense, and also there are more isolation. So I don't know how to explain that, really, but maybe we can get all the sectors together and see how they what they look like next to each other. And here we have the political parties. That's also, I don't know, I wouldn't describe it as busy, not like the media, anyway. Do we have anything more? Yeah, this is the state. Looks a little bit more centralized, in a sense, heavy in the middle. So we'll have to see, you know, who these might just be departments of or ministries, right? And here's the union map, which is also, I think, quite interesting. Yeah. Because, the whole idea behind this information spheres research question is that Norway's Scandinavian countries are very organized societies, right? Most people are members of organizations, and because it's also a corporate political structure, the political processes are very tied into organizational structures. And I just took this as well, Sten, because I know you like the trade press, and you pointed out that no one's ever researched the trade press in Norway. That's true. And that looks much better than, this network actually looks pretty nice. So maybe these are connected to the unions. They might be, right? Some trade press publications are connected to labor unions. So we'd have to look at that. But it's very dense here in the middle. So 200 something trade press publications in Norway, right? Yeah. So this is the code book so far. This is why we're having this meeting, to agree on this. So looking at the media sector, we could continue doing the newspaper websites and maybe do the pure players, but there aren't really that many of them in Scandinavia. The trade press, as I said, and also news magazines, take the ones that assume that they have some agenda-setting power. Also the political sector, we have parties, labor unions and trade unions, and also think tanks. Again, not too many in Scandinavia, but there will be a list of maybe 20, 30. State sector, we have the ministries, courts, and things like defense and police. That's usually just one top domain, and that's it, right? Hospitals, health services, oversight and public services. There's a lot of them in Norway, and it's very difficult to decide which ones to include and which to exclude. Universities and colleges, and also the county level state organization, right? And we'd thought of doing a case, so do my city and Asker city and Michael city, and see if we can. Is this right?
No.
I didn't want to. Yes. Thanks. We will fix that. But we can't have Copenhagen because that won't compare, right? Yeah. So then the question is, how do you translate some kind of state sector organization to a municipality level? And is there anything we can find here that might be interesting? Also, civil society sector, aid organizations, ideal and political organizations, and the organized private sector, cultural institutions, museums, sports organizations, religious organizations, and this could be an exhaustive list, of course. This is also something we have to talk about here, and the commercial sector. I was very nervous about collecting hyperlinks from the commercial sector. I asked a lot of people about proprietary stuff. Could they show up and arrest me for scraping their hyperlinks or something like that? I've been assured that they won't do that because it's open information. That's why we're taking it kind of slow, starting with one, two, or three levels before we actually dig up their whole. But as you can see, they have their own internet, so maybe it's not so interesting. So the idea behind this is that, for my part, in the project is I'm working on this book project now. The title is Journalism Between the State and the Market, and my idea is that journalism is moving, situated between the state and the market, and needs to create a distance to both of those fields, but now it's moving towards the state and the market at the same time. And Scandinavia is a good place to analyze that because of the mixed media systems that we have in the Nordic countries, where the market, journalism, and the state have a sort of equilibrium. But, looking at some of these trends, we could argue that journalism is both moving towards the market sector, becoming more marketized, and it's moving towards the state sector. States, for instance, by lobbyism, attacking public service, broadcasting, wanting more press support, and also evidence of increased polarization in the actual content of the press. And the markets, this audience tracking as a new gold in the industry, content marketing, net neutrality, and those kinds of things. And the hypothesis behind these two kind of empirical boxes is just an idea here to test the kind of the basic hypothesis of Hallin and Mancini's media systems theory that democratic corporate this system is moving towards the liberal system, becoming more marketized, moving towards the market. And also the kind of emerging hypothesis that we see in Central Europe and also research from the US that journalism is moving more towards this polarization. So there's these two are kind of, maybe they're not opposite, but at least they can be tested in a sense. So that's kind of the idea behind the whole thing. Okay, I think I'm out of time. So, thanks. Questions, comments? Yes.
Thank you very much. I'm a bit curious about how you think you're going to use this material, because I think some of the things you you see here that this is a kind of data that you have to handle with quite low caution. For example, all this quantitative material doesn't say anything about the quality of the connection between these people or organizations and so on.
Certainly.
If I were, for example, a political party and you could see that I had a number of links to some anti-immigration organization, for example, that wouldn't necessarily mean that I agree with them or work together with them or something like that. So how do you think you're going to use this in the end?
Yeah, you have to be very careful about what kind of meaning you attribute to what hyperlinks are, right? In some, in the news network sense, most of the links are automatic, right? It's just in the CMS already. It's not like they intentionally necessarily link to the, to these things. So, I mean, we're aware of that from the first one. I think you just have to be very careful in how you operationalize a link and what it really means. As you say, it doesn't necessarily mean some kind of affiliation or anything. But you're right. Yeah, we really have to be careful about that. Yeah.
I'm not sure if I understood how you do operationalize link. What kind of connection is it really?
What kind of connection a hyperlink is?
Not what the hyperlink is, but how do you operationalize it? I don't know if you said about that in the start.
Well, I mean, it's an aggregate, right? One links can be either citational or they can be navigational. Most of the time they're commercial, right? We don't have any tools to separate between the various types of links right now. So we have to be quite careful in how you analyze the aggregate of the patterns, in a sense. But you can look at something like being central to the network, or something like how many links you send and how many links you receive. Ideally, it would be good to combine a study like this, maybe doing some ethnographic stuff like newsroom, or doing interviews, talking to them about the practices that they have.
But what you're saying is that at least some of these links are citations. So that means
yes.
There has to be some kind of intentions behind some of it anyway.
So how you interpret that intention, you're right, has to be very careful.
That's kind of my question too, I think, is just trying to get in my head around exactly which links were being measured. So for example, with the corporation sites, homepages of these oil companies are these all like kind of just the main pages? Is it just from the front page? Is it from any pages associated with the main domain, or which pages are looked at, which pages are not looked at?
I mean, it's the home domain and then everything.
Everything below.
Yeah, and then two levels, right? So you go to fn.org, and then you take all the links on that side, and then all the links from those sides again. So you kind of get, and the tree grows like that, of course, and then you get older and older links. So we have to stop at some point, because we did four levels the last time we did it in 2016, and it was just a massive amount of links. So we tried with two, now this is two levels. But that might be not enough, right? You might need three, because this, it looks like it stops here, so you might need three or four levels actually to see. But you wouldn't expect these guys are commercial entities, and links for them is to keep people within the site and to brag about their own operations and links to their documents and yearly reports. So for them, a website is a very different thing than from a news organization. Yeah.
That was going to be my other question. Was thinking about, because you're capturing all the news stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is any links that have appeared in any story anywhere on the site.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's going to look very different.
Yes.
How do you account for volume too, in terms of news sites that produce more stories than others?
Yeah, I mean, when we did it 2 years ago, when we looked at VG, I think we had 8 million links just from that site or something. And then because the tree is so wide, but for a smaller site, maybe just 50. Altogether, right? Because they don't have any hyperlink practice in the newsroom yet. It's mainly a print publication. So there are some relations between being corporate and being big and having a lot of links, right? And I'm not sure how to in terms of how many of the links are citational and how many of them are purely CMS or corporate or economic, it would be hard to... I know Rife and his colleague, they made a taxonomy of how you could actually do an automatic analysis of hyperlinks like that, and we thought about maybe using that. You just use the URL structure and see if you can find some way to do a very rudimentary content analysis of it. But But the idea is to, I'm kind of hoping that we can have all these networks together in one graph, and then you can see that, like, if there are some links between the networks, in a sense, and how different they actually look, in a sense. Hopefully. Yeah?
More? I'd love to learn much more about the methodology and the programs you are using. But I'm not quite sure if I should ask you that question right now. We need to have a seminar or something so that we can learn more about it. But the thing I really would like to ask you is how to account for the topics that are being linked to the case that we are looking at links to Sweden, for instance, from Norway. In September, we'll be really concentrated on the elections, parliamentarian discussing after the elections, while in July it would be different because of the wildfires and the things happening in other places outside Stockholm.
Yeah.
I don't think, but somehow you need to account for what's happening also in the real world.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. We did this scraping in May and June, now in April and May. So we'd have to look back and see, you know, if there were any events that were, would mean that there were actually some natural connections between the countries. Yeah.
Could I say one more thing really interesting? If you could find connections between links and the patterns of migration, it would be really interesting. Thinking of all the Swedes coming here to work, would that affect the way newspaper links? Well, it should.
I think you would find something like that if you had, when you looked, if you looked at the Syrian refugee crisis and looked at northern Norway and Sweden media, where they actually crossed, right, on the border.
The Syrians.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm also thinking about Swedes coming,
coming here. Yeah.
Should mean that the news media would cater to them by telling more about what's happening in Sweden.
Yes. That would be very,
In that, the first graph you showed, the color of the Denmark, Sweden, Norway, very early on, I just wanted to make a comparison. It looks like, I think, maybe you didn't suggest this, but is Sweden a sort of go-between these two? In other words, are there more links between Denmark and Sweden and between Norway and Sweden than between other pairs?
Does
Sweden act as kind of like a middle?
Yes, in some ways. There are more links between Denmark and Sweden and more links between Norway and Sweden. So this Denmark and Norway aren't as strongly connected as... Both Norway and Denmark are more connected to Sweden
because
than the others.
The more recent data seem to have this
flipped. Yeah, and I don't know why. So that might be...
Where I think it was Denmark was the go-between.
Yeah. That might be something to look at. Yes?
And one final idea from my side is to be fully convinced about the idea of the Scandinavian public sphere or something, it would be really nice to know how much newspapers are linking to countries outside. To England or to it's not a country, to the UK and the Netherlands. And
this is something that we really want to also do. So... So if we look at, so this is the program, right? This is the Gephi program. And this is where you can actually do some analysis to look at what a network would look like. And you can also go in here and change the rankings of the nodes and the, and the strengths of the edges. So you basically load a data set, and then you use some parameters to see what it looks like. So in the
random layout.
So that looks like nothing, right? But if... Actually, this is a pretty nice program that you can use to do network analyses of many kinds. And you can do a lot of the analysis inside the inside the program, because you can run different kinds of statistics here on the centrality and hub properties and things like that.
What was the name again?
Gephi. So Gephi up there. Okay. Yeah. So it's a free program that you can download. Let's see here. So nodes are clearly, I mean, nodes are the dots, right? The websites, and the edges are the links between the websites. And then depending on how much data you have about your nodes, you can go through and see here we have the top level domain. So some .no, .com, .se, .org. If you do that, then it will kind of show you the patterns in terms of the variable that you have. And you can zoom in on it, and then when you kind of scroll over, then you see where the links are mainly. And of course, you can attribute. Let's see if we have some ranking for the label weight, how many there are. Then you start to look at where the strongest links are between websites. I mean, you can adjust the labels so that you get them bigger, etc. And you can play around with it. It's fun, but it also takes a while to understand what it does. That's the precariousness of doing something computational when you're not really sure what the data behind everything is. Yeah. I like it because it can be illustrative in terms of the data you have, which can help you to formulate good research questions and then test things in a way that you're more certain of, maybe. Fun, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oops. It's a bit fidgety. Exxon Mobil, okay. Any more questions, or should we wrap it up? So here we have everything, yeah. So it's not just the Norwegian and Danish, it's Google and Facebook and everything, yeah.
Really cool.